Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, welcome. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me for a time of prayer and delving into the Word of God. Let's put ourselves in His presence. Feel free to leave also your prayer intentions in the comments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace. We thank you for the gift of repentance. We thank you for this continued celebration of Easter. We thank you for all those who have entered the church at Easter. We thank you for the gift of your word. May we now understand it more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively through Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Observing the boldness of Peter and John and perceiving them to be uneducated, ordinary men, the leaders, elders, and scribes were amazed, and they recognized them as the companions of Jesus. Then when they saw the man who had been cured standing there with them, they could say nothing in reply. So they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin and conferred with one another, saying, "What are we to do with these men? Everyone living in Jerusalem knows that a remarkable sign was done through them, and we cannot deny it. But so that it might not spread any further among the people, let us give them a stern warning, never again to speak to anyone in this name." So they called them back and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John, however, said to them in reply, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to obey you rather than God, you be the judges. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them further, they released them, finding no way to punish them on account of the people who were all praising God for what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, friends, sometimes we think of this effort to stop the apostles from preaching in the name of Jesus as something that only characterized the beginnings of the church. No, this is a characteristic of the whole life of the church. And therefore, this is a dynamic that you and I also face. It's come to light in our day under the name of cancel culture. And cancel culture is not out there just in the secular universities that want to shut up a conservative or pro-life speaker, or in the efforts of the IRS to shut down a group, or in the efforts of a weaponized Department of Justice imprisoning pro-lifers. Cancel culture is also in the church. There are religious leaders who are more concerned about controlling God's work than they are about doing God's work. I have a canonical advisor who's helped me over the years battle against the cancel culture in the church. And he says about those who abuse their authority, like the Sanhedrin here abused theirs, he said, "What they can't control, they kill." And that's what they tried to do to Christianity. That's what they tried to do to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what they tried to do to the apostles. Now remember, it's the Sanhedrin ordering Peter and John and the other apostles to stop teaching and preaching about Jesus. I want you to consider something. Should they have obeyed them? Understand this. The Sanhedrin was the highest religious authority that they had. That was the religious authority over the people. So should they have obeyed them? There's a concept out there about obedience that says that the person who's giving you the order is always right. And that's wrong. There's a concept out there that says, oh, well, even if they're clearly wrong, you should obey them anyway. Okay, so then I repeat the question. Peter and John, should they have obeyed the highest religious authority of their day when they were told, stop teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus? The reason that the answer is no, they should not have obeyed, and in fact they didn't, and they explained why, is not that they or we would disrespect authority, not that they or we don't acknowledge or believe in authority. It's that the authorities are human, the authorities are sinners, and sometimes the human, sinful authorities abuse their authority. That's the point. And that's the aspect of this that perdures throughout the life of the church. It's not just about the time of the Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes those in authority abuse their authority. And we've got to be smart enough to realize when that's happening and when they, the authorities, are putting themselves contrary to God. Now, why and how did they put themselves contrary to God in this case? Well, because they weren't making this order based on what their authority is supposed to do, which is to spread the work of God. They were trying to stop the work of God. It wasn't based on the right motive of advancing the kingdom of God. It was based on the motive of preserving their own power. They were threatened by Jesus, by this movement that had grown up around him. Their hearts were closed against the very clear evidence that Jesus gave that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies and that he was from God. And because their hearts were closed, and because they felt threatened, and because they wanted to control things and preserve themselves in power, they ordered these apostles not to preach and teach in the name of Jesus. And the apostles realized something, that every authority, including church authority, is subject to Almighty God, a God who has spoken a message that we can all hear. So Peter and John said, it's impossible for us not to speak about what we've seen and heard. We have to obey God rather than you. Now, you can't just use that as an excuse to do whatever you think God is asking you to do. But when clearly the authority is obstructing the work and plan of God, when clearly the authority is putting themselves in conflict with God, then you're forced to choose. And you always have to obey God rather than men, even if those men are religious authorities. Brothers and sisters, it's the cancel culture. We have priests today who are being told to shut up, not because they're teaching anything contrary to doctrine, but because they're, quote, causing division, causing anger. Since when is that a criterion? When we follow somebody whose preaching caused so much anger that he got crucified. Have we forgotten that? Since when? These people are so disconnected from what the way of Christ is all about. Since when is it a criterion of what the proper pastoral religious approach is in our work? Since when is that criterion, that we don't get anyone angry and that we don't cause division? Jesus was causing division and making people angry. We're all everywhere he went. That's what led to, I don't know, anybody remember? There's an event that we celebrated, about a week ago, something about a cross or Good Friday, or was it called? Is it Good Friday? Is that what? How they forget. We can't afford to do this. We've got to stop doing this. And we've got to expose it, and we've got to resist it with all our might, brothers and sisters. I don't like to bring up, those of you who watch me all the time, you know full well, I don't bring up my own situation very frequently. And I gave extensive commentary on it when it happened. throwing me out of the priesthood and everything like that. But there is something about it that I'll say in the context of this, that some people, again, as I mentioned earlier briefly, have this idea that the obedience that a priest has to have, or that any of us have to have towards legitimate authority, is has to be always unquestioning and always the authority is always right. No, they're not always right. That's why the church has built into its laws and processes, it has procedures by which somebody can go over the head of the authority, whether it's a bishop or cardinal, whatever, and appeal their decision and protest their decision, because sometimes these sinful, limited human beings make sinful choices and abuse their authority. Now, I have often been told, oh, well, you know, you need to be obedient, and you should have been obedient all from the very beginning. Look, if I weren't trying to be obedient, if I weren't trying to preserve the call that I've had to the priesthood for 35 years, then I could have bolted at the very first sign of trouble. When back in 2001, I was told to step away from the Priest for Life work that I had been doing for 8 years, flourishing ministry, dealing with the most important moral issue of our time, and fully consistent with what the church teaches. If at that point I weren't intent on preserving obedience, union with the church, and nurturing of my priestly vocation, I could have bolted right then and there and said, okay, that's it, I'm walking away. You don't want me to do this work? Sorry, have a good day, I'm gone. But instead, I spent the next 21 years trying to be obedient. But you know, it's very difficult to be obedient when those who are giving you orders lie to you and constantly change the goalposts, abusing their authority, just like these Sanhedrin did. More interested in controlling God's work than doing God's work. Read my story. Just read my story. It's at frfrankpavone.com. Just read the story, and you'll see the details I'm talking about. Okay, back to the main point here. We have seen and heard the risen Jesus. Not in the way that these apostles were privileged to do, actually eat, touch him, eat with him. But then again, we do, don't we? We see him, we meet him in his word, in the Eucharist, in his spirit, in the Christian community, through his ministers. And we have a life-changing experience of encounter with Jesus Christ. Presumably we've all had that. If you haven't, ask for it, because this is what God wants to give you. And so we too can say it is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard. There's a war against Christianity in our day. When Biden had his Easter egg celebration at the White House, they prohibited any religious symbols from being used. This is what is this all about? We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. And those in the pro-life effort know full well that that message especially is the target of cancel culture. And so we can read this verse with another layer of meaning, which is this. It is impossible for us not to speak about what we have seen and heard in regard to the baby in the womb. We've seen the baby. We're not going to go along with the lie that the baby's not there or that the baby's not a baby. And what we have seen and heard about the violence of abortion. As I always say, America will not reject abortion until America sees abortion. We have the website lookatabortion.org. Look at it. Once you see it, you know how many people are involved in pro-life activism and leadership, and they're involved in it because they saw the aborted baby? Many of you, tell us in the comments if that was your experience too. Of course, many of you have done exactly that. We cannot help, once we see what this is, we cannot help speaking about it. Nobody's going to silence us. It's not just because we have strong willpower. Nobody's going to silence us. Because we've seen and heard and touched and experienced, and especially those who have had abortions have experienced the horror of it. That's why we have Silent No More. And they speak up. SilentNoMore.com. Look at their testimonies. We cannot help speaking. It is impossible for us to stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. Let's continue to see and hear it. Let's vigorously proclaim the pro-life message. Let's obey God at all times, even if men contradict it. let us indeed speak life and speak up against the greatest act of violence in our midst, abortion, and against those children in the womb who are its victims. Let us rejoice. Christ is risen. He has conquered these evils. Let us proclaim his name to the ends of the earth. Amen. Lord Jesus, we turn to you now with intercession. Again, we pray for all those who have entered the church this Easter. We pray for all those who are far from the church. Bring them back. If they are members of our own circle of family and friends, Lord, we ask you that the yearning and the pain and the concern that we have might be received by you and be the cause of your grace to bring back these brothers and sisters of ours into the full practice of the faith. Lord, we are in a key election season as well. Give wisdom to the voters, activate the voters, and let us do the right thing in the voting booth. Save our nation. Lord God, we ask you for the grace to fulfill all our needs, the provision we need, the gifts we ask, the strength that we petition you for. And we sum up all our prayers and needs and praises in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thanks, friends, for joining me. There are some people you can reach that we can't, to expand our audience, our viewership. Pass along the information about these broadcasts, and thank you for inviting others that may be interested. God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Talk to you soon.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priest for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.